have this line in Daniel 7, one like the Son of Man. Let's pray. Precious Father, without your anointing, words are just words. But with your anointing, you can actually link them to the stuff in our life. You are a great God and you know each of us intimately, individually. You know what we need to hear from you. And I ask for that. I ask for your anointing to be on us so that we hear the words of God, your word, the anointed word. Thank you for your Bible. We thank you for the written word. We thank you that over and over and over we can go to it and just soak ourselves in it. Thank you, gracious God. Amen. I'll try this. Was that you or me? Oh, well, I might have to just do that. We'll just see. Okay. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. This amazing revelation takes Daniel by surprise. It is just completely outside our imagination. It seems like a total contradiction. He'd lived in a society drowning in the stench of sin. He had seen evil in even the most respected of people. And over again, he must have come to his Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, completely aware of his own sin and constant failings. Then, to his surprise, he sees God's plan to rescue mankind. Surely an angel or some high-ranking angel would come. Surely. But then Daniel sees him. He sees one like the Son of Man. You know, the term Son of Man is a synonym for mankind. In Ezekiel, God uses it many times to address the prophet. But this time, it's used to convey the wonderment of the love of God. That the Almighty Son of God would take the form of a man. I was trying to think of a parallel. I thought, you know, would I become a Slater? No, it has to be actually, Slater's a kind of morally neutral, aren't they? They have to be a lousy blowfly or something. You know, would you take that to save the blowflies? It's because God had created man in his own image, isn't it? Do we see the love of God at Christmas? We see it more clearly when we see the stench of our own sin. I gave you that homework ages back, and I hope someone's doing it, where each night before you shut your eyes, you thank God for one thing. You confess something before God, and you put one request before God. Confession is so vital because it reminds you, no, you are a sinner. And it brings you to a place of humility. Yes, Lord, I have sinned. Daniel would have thought, surely there must be another way. Surely God does not have to become a man. How debasing, how demeaning. And then the Son of God is brought before the Ancient of Days. What is Christmas? Christmas is an act of war. Why did Britain go to war in 1939? Why did the Anzacs go to war? It was to rescue people from the tyranny of evil. The angels proclaimed to the shepherds, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, whoops, this actually works, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. But the peace of God comes at a cost. It was obvious in heaven, and even to mankind, that sin had robbed people of peace. Isaiah says, there is no peace for the wicked. Jesus comes as the Son of Man to represent us to God. Complete authority is given to Jesus forever. His dominion is everlasting. This was evidenced at the first Christmas. Jesus became a man and defeated Satan and death. Satan tries to kill a baby. How easy. So easy. Satan tries to kill a baby born to a poor family, born to a carpenter's family, in a stable with all the power of Herod's men and soldiers and army and all of that. He fails. He fails. Satan is defeated. You know, in Revelation 12, the woman is Israel, the child is Jesus, and Satan is described as the dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and we've seen that. He was thrown down out of heaven and saw the birth of Jesus. He takes with him 1/3 of the angelic beings. He deceives the whole earth, but God protects his people. And Satan knows his time is short, and he is furious. Now, a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then, being with child, she cried out in labour and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. And his tail drew 1/3 of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth, to devour her child. As soon as it was born, she bore a male child who went to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and his throne. Then the woman fled to the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer, so the great dragon was cast out. That serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now, salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren who accused them before our God day and night have been cast down. Remember Jesus with the woman caught in adultery? Where are your accusers? I don't know, they're gone. Neither do I accuse you. Neither do I accuse you. Wow, the one person in all of creation, all of eternity, who could, didn't. Jesus comes with forgiveness. And they overcame him with the blood of the Lamb. We remembered that. And by the word of his testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has been cast down to you having great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. And when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness of a place where she is nourished for a time, times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed out water out of his mouth, like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. What is Christmas? Christmas is a declaration of war, people. That's a declaration of war. We are at war. This is the Christmas story as seen by the angels in glory. Mankind had fallen into sin, so that there was a separation between the holy God and sinful man. God had chosen a nation of people whose heritage was to know his laws and his heart. Out of this nation of Israel, even from the line of King David, who's described as a man after God's own heart, and further back to Abraham, who's described as a friend of God, comes Jesus, described as the Son of Man. There it is in Acts. I found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. Wow, what a compliment. Abraham, a friend of God. The genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, son of Abraham. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I'll raise up to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness on the earth. Wow. For hundreds of years, you know, the angels would have seen these chosen people betray their God. Read the prophets. Read Isaiah. Read Jeremiah. Read Ezekiel. They would have seen idols being introduced. Jeremiah 1, I will utter my judgment against them concerning all their wickedness because they have forsaken me, burned incense to other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. That was Israel. But you could just as well have thought, that's Australia. That is the Western world, isn't it? Where we have forsaken God, a nation formed with the Bible as the holy book and wanting to get rid of it now. Marriages were made which compromised their faith, Ezra, so that the holy seed is mixed with the people of those lands. We have open doors, people. Open doors to the world so that the world can come in and take the place of God. I got a pamphlet from Salvation Army. So sad. So sad. At least three times they mentioned Santa Claus, Santa Claus, Santa Claus. I looked for the word Jesus. I couldn't find it. So terrible. It's a con. Satan is so tricky, so smart. So we'll put giving into Christmas. Giving, which is such a nice thing. But they've dropped Jesus out of it. This one moment in all of the history of mankind when God becomes a man. How holy, how sacred, how special, how momentous is that moment. God becomes man. And Daniel sees it when the Son of Man comes. Wow, the Son of Man, Son of God, there. Children were killed in sacrifices because people believed that they should be allowed to get what they want. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, says the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by name to pollute it, and they have built the high places to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I did not command, nor did it come into my heart. Laws and religion overruled a real relationship with God. Prophets were imprisoned and killed, but somehow, in all of that turmoil of evil, there remained a line of faithful believers. Mankind was in ruins. Israel was in bondage. Satan was enraged with Israel so that she had ceased to exist since then, since Jesus, for 2,000 years just about. It looked unfixable. How could a man be born who had to be sinless to lead mankind out of the bondage? God has written the law that the sins of the fathers are passed on to the children to the third and fourth generation so that we're born in sin. Every person is a sinner, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So there was a need for the penalty of sin to be paid. God had already proclaimed, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And we shall call his name Emmanuel. And do you get the special meaning? God with us. Emmanuel. God with us. Because when you hear that, you stand back and think, wow, is that possible? Is that possible? With all my sin, is it possible that God can stand with me? Say, I will never, ever leave you. God with us. So, there is no human father because the sins of the fathers are passed down. The word Hebrew word Alma means a young woman. But when it's changed to Greek, Parthenos, it is a virgin. Isaiah's young wife did indeed bear a son, which was a sign that the Assyrians wouldn't conquer Judah at that time. But 700 years later, a true virgin did bear a son, and it was proof that God had not deserted mankind. You know, the vision of the four beasts and the little horn speaking pompous words had highlighted to Daniel that mankind was living in catastrophe. Who could rescue the world? And then he beholds one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days and they brought him near to him. Then he was given a dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. How awesome it must have been for Daniel to just see that. You know, we must see the birth, the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus, Son of God, as absolutely miraculous and unique. Out of this world. Huge. That's Christmas. Jesus refers to this passage from Daniel 7 there when he teaches about his return in Matthew. He says, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Straight from Daniel 7. Simeon saw the salvation of mankind at the birth of Jesus, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it's been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, Christ being the Messiah. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. This old man has seen it. He picked up the baby, tiny baby, and seen him. But you have prepared before the face of all peoples a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Wow, what a sober prophecy. When Daniel sees the dominion and the glory, it is not without war. So too, Simeon saw the salvation that Jesus would bring, but only because he could see the sin that was in mankind. Some people cannot see the sin. They may see it in others, but they refuse to admit that they are sinners. So they refuse to admit that hell exists. Without hell, salvation is meaningless. Christmas is useless. They think of their unsaved friends as going, after they've died, off to some place to play golf and have fun. They think that good people will be smiling in the afterlife. The destiny of the Son of God was for the fall and the rising of many people. There are only two lords, and God respects our choice. We either serve Jesus as Lord or Satan as Lord. Those who are not for me are against me, says Jesus. That's it. People have to make that choice and say, Jesus, you are the Lord of my life. I'm a sinner. You paid for my sins. And I come into your presence. The destiny of the Son of God was for the fall and rising of many people. This is war. Simeon tells even Mary and Joseph that a sword would pierce their own souls. That is war. When we read, the dragon was enraged with the woman and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That is war. Jesus has all authority. The word for authority in Greek is exousia. Ex is out of, ousia is the verb to be. So it is out of being, out of who he is. Because he is the Son of God, Son of Man, he has authority. And he proclaims it in Matthew 28:18. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So be it. Go therefore, make disciples. You know, we are so blessed to be part of the kingdom and the dominion that will never end. But we must go and make disciples. This Christmas, commit your conversations and your meals to God. You're seeing family, I know. Most of you are. Someone, friends, whatever. Ask for an alertness to spot opportunities to speak out the gospel. The opportunity to serve God is the door to great joy. Look for the blockages and barriers and people and pray for them to be crushed. If you're meeting someone who's not a Christian, pray beforehand, say, Lord, give me the opportunity to crush any barrier, and I crush it in the name of Jesus. Bang. It doesn't matter if these blockages are worldly good things, like popularity, health, wealth, education, possessions. Your goal is salvation. When Jesus says in Matthew 5, he says, love your enemies, bless those who curse you. He means salvation. Not protect their pride so they're not humiliated. Not protect their popularity or their wealth or their health. Jesus means salvation. No, Lord, give them $100 but let them rot in hell. Is that love? No. Love is, I want that person to spend eternity in the glory of God. That's salvation. And if it means all of their wealth gone, all their possessions gone, all their health gone, all their happiness gone, whatever. Eternity is what counts. You don't have to be a brilliant mathematician to figure that out. Infinity, divided by any finite number is still infinity. You're there. Okay. Quick math lesson. So, if it's necessary for their salvation, pray that these things are smashed. What matters is that they have opportunity to serve Jesus their Lord. You know, the NIV translates the Hebrew word for serve as worship. Our worship is more than singing hymns and prayer. When you serve God in the many tasks at Darlington or wherever you go in your life, you worship Him. I want to encourage you with another thing. Give you lots of homework. I hope someone does one little bit of it. Yeah, this is it. We sang there. Kneel and pray. Most of you have carpet. When I began kneeling and praying, it made a difference. I come to God in desperation for the batterings in life that you get. Try it. Okay? If I'm wrong, just call me an idiot. Who cares? But the scriptures are full of it. Kneel and pray. Because you come, what it does for me is it breaks me before God, and something happens in my stomach which humbles me and says, God, you are God and I am useless without you and I need your help. So, You've probably got a room that you can be alone in and no one knows, who cares? Try it. Another bit of homework for you. Daniel saw that the kingdom was everlasting for eternity. It was unlike the other kingdoms. It would not pass away. It would never be destroyed. It's seen in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And in the days of these things, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it will stand forever. At Christmas, the God of heaven sent his only begotten Son to be a man, to set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, and you and I are part of that kingdom. At Christmas we celebrate that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, Jesus claims this title, the Son of Man. One would have thought it was a denigrating thing, but in fact, when we see it, it is huge. So that we have a Redeemer who understands our fleshly struggles. There it is in Hebrews. Who in the days of his flesh, when he was offered up prayers and supplication with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. The title proclaims to us that he came from heaven. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man, who is in heaven. Being the Son of Man means that he has authority to judge, for as the Father of life has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. The Son of Man will be glorified and bring God glory. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him." As we exalt the Son of Man, we know that Jesus is the door to eternal life. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and even so, the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus becomes a man to rescue us. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus will return, as Daniel has shown. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Straight from Daniel 7. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. People, as Christmas comes, at Christmas, we worship the Son of God who became the Son of Man, to redeem us so that we can spend eternity with him. Amen. Get hold of Christmas. Let's sing the last hymn. Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. I'll do it, Rob. that it's not. Father God, regardless of what happens on the screen, the words are right. You are an amazing, wonderful God. And in our life, things can prang up. That doesn't change salvation. That doesn't change this moment in the history of mankind when you became man. That doesn't change the fact that the Son of God became the Son of Man. And somehow, because of the love of God, we can actually be cleansed from all our sin and come into your presence and stand in your presence and worship you. Lord, this Christmas I pray for this congregation. I pray for the people here. I pray, Lord God, that you will give us an alertness to speak out your words to our family, to our friends, to strangers, to whoever. We want to take back the meaning of Christmas. Satan has so clouded it with rubbish that nowhere is it seen that the Son of God became the Son of Man. But we want to remember you. And so in our lives, in the things that we do, we ask for that. We ask for your anointing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, people.